The band Matt Pond PA is with us today, led by Matt Pond. The band is originally from Philadelphia, where they picked up the PA. Their last album, Emblems, was an indie fave, earning airplay on the OC, who also had Matt and company cut their cover of the Oasis song Champagne Supernova. The new album, several arrows later, is even better, and we talked to Matt and company the week that their album was the lead review in Rolling Stone, who liked it. I started the interview by asking Matt if more people in Philadelphia seemed to discover him after he left and moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a lot of people had to wait till I left to embrace me, so that's okay.
Has that actually been true? Or do people actually say, I'm sorry?
No. I mean, they're just a lot happier to see me now that I'm not around. I guess that's the way it is.
What was the difference for you from leaving Philadelphia and going to Brooklyn? What happened musically for you when that happened?
I think I got really depressed because you move to a city where you don't have any friends, and then you slowly start making friends, and these are them, and that's pretty much it.
Oh,
but
okay.
You know, it's just that kind of. It was just, you know, pretty much loss, and then going to a place where, you know, I was New York. I love Philadelphia, but New York impresses me for its, you know, its resilience and its strength. It's a pretty strong city.
He's yes, absolutely. Absolutely indeed. But you kept the PA.
Definitely. I'm not giving it up. I love it here. I mean, this is why, you know, Philadelphia is why I started playing music. So no matter how much nobody wants to kiss me or embrace me or touch me at all, I'll still keep the PA.
Excellent. Well, can you do something from that album I kind of fell in love with? That
definitely. Emblems? It's we'll play KC. It's the first song off of Emblems.
Cool. Great song. That is KC, which goes back one album to Emblems. Our guests today are Matt Pond, PA, and they're joining us live in the studio. And Matt, set the group. Who's playing today?
You want me to introduce the members? Okay, over here we have my good friend Brian Pearl playing guitar. He and Dan Kroll have been doing it for a little while. Dan Kroll is the drummer. And there's Daniel Mita over here on the bass. He looks really nice with his headphones. And Dana Fader is the newest. She's from Boston, but she's still great anyway. Kidding. I love Boston too.
And she's on cello.
She is.
And cello has been one of the kind of mainstay, kind of textural elements of what you've been doing for the longest time. Why were you attracted to that kind of medium string thing?
I think, you know, it's nice with the vocal. I think it works well. I think also I listened to a lot of ELO growing up and a lot of way too much ELO. So, you know, you just always want to be like ELO, I guess. Or try to somehow.
You're originally from New Hampshire, and I understand you go back there, you know, whenever you can or
definitely. Yeah. When we're not playing shows or stuck in New York or something.
Are you from the southern part of the state or further?
Oh, from the mountains.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I totally understand that. Did you ever feel isolated growing up there or does one not get isolated geographically anymore?
I think it was extremely isolating, but that's, you know, it's a good thing. You learn how to get along with yourself in the woods, and then, you know, you're fine. You know, you can handle anything else.
Your dad was a minister, but your mom was the musician in the family?
She played a lot of piano. She still plays a lot of show tunes when I go home, which is, you know, I'm working on songs upstairs and she's doing, you know, Camelot and stuff like that. It's kind of like it's a battle almost.
Well, you have that, you know, great melodic sense. Maybe that's the show tunes coming through those.
Please don't say that.
I know.
That's terrible.
My best friend in high school was the minister's son, and it was a great relationship. He was not a particularly religious guy. How did you react to your father? How was it?
I mean, my father was like, he was kind of a great person. He did all this humanitarian stuff. As a one-on-one thing, it wasn't always the most fun to be around him, but he actually did want to play cello when he was growing up, and part of me, I mean, this is the sneaky part that I don't often talk about, is, you know, you're playing music and you want to do something that your parents don't hate at a certain point. That's probably a little bit bigger than the ELO, but the ELO is like that comfortable thing to say. So
maybe that's why the cello's in there.
Probably.
Interesting. Well, let's do something from the new one. What do you want to start with?
We're going to do Halloween. It's the first song off the new album. Into where the people were on a Saturday. Don't know, care, you'll be alright.
modern to be stupid. You don't need a thought to look good. But pardon the intrusion. Could we leave before it gets bad? I might smash a woman's windows and set fire to the curtains.
Halloween from Several Arrows, later the new one from Matt Pond, PA. Another thing that I guess while I was kind of discovering Emblems, a lot of other people wouldn't, and you kind of had a bit of what we call the OC effect, in that you recorded Champagne Supernova for them, and it got used for the show. How did that come about? How come you ended up doing Oasis?
Well, first they'd use the song New Hampshire for the show, and I, you know, whatever anyone can say against the guy, I think the guy is one of the greatest, you know, music supporters and pushers
totally,
these days.
Totally.
And it's awesome. And what's funny is we'd been listening to a lot of Oasis, and we get a phone call, and they thought it would be a really cool idea. You know, it had been a while since the song had been out. So I don't know. And I got to talk to him on the phone about it, you know. I had my ideas, not really, but I like to think I did.
So there's been no communication between that?
Oh, no. I did talk to him about it a little bit, and we just talked about how we were going to do it. And, you know, Brian did a lot of work for that, as always. He did a lot of arrangement and stuff. But I get the credit, so yeah, that's how it is.
Well, it's funny, and the only reason I bring it up is because, you know, you are from the epicenter of current hipness, in, you know, and I'm just wondering how something like that goes over with your fellow musicians in Brooklyn.
Weirdly, you know, I know a lot of musicians, but we're kind of it's kind of a secular thing. Everybody has like their. It's almost like the last thing you'd ever want to talk about is music, if you're playing music. Which not right now. I'm loving this.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. But I love the way you use the word secular with that. That's great.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. Now I've heard you say that this album is more autobiographical than others. It makes me scratch my head because there's things like New Hampshire, and I was kind of wondering what that was.
Yeah, sometimes you say things like it's like you embiggen something, and it's just, it was the wrong way to embiggen it. All these records are exactly the same in terms of their autobiographicalness.
Right. Which it would seem to me a fair amount. I mean, there's certainly a fair amount of you in there. Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to write about other than, I mean, people write songs, story songs, and I'm maybe I'm too obsessed with myself or something. I mean, I did name a band after myself.
This is true. Well, here, let's try to figure out more about you. You want to do So Much Trouble?
Yes, definitely.
So Much Trouble is the second track on Several Arrows Later, and I only bring that up because the album kind of, it's very autumnal album. It kind of moves through Halloween, and then you get later into fall. And did you conceive it that way at all?
I think so. Yeah. I'd like to say I did.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I have this larger foresight. I probably don't.
But it definitely works that way. And the album is just got the lead review in the latest Rolling Stone, which must feel great.
It's good. I mean, it's, you know, all this stuff is kind of like, you know, I've been doing this for a few years, so it's kind of you can't go either way. You can't either, nothing really, which is a little depressing to say, but nothing ever makes you feel go crazy. In the same sense, you try not to let yourself get bogged down by the negative things that are destined to happen. It's just a part of this whole thing. You know, I am lucky, you know, to play with people like this and to always have played with people that are awesome, you know. So it's
absolutely
I'm lucky, I guess.
Matt, thanks a lot for bringing everybody in today. It was great.
Well, thank you very much.
Matt Pond, PA, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Once again, thank you to Matt Pond, PA, for being our guest today. That new album called Several Arrows Later is available at our World Cafe website. Our new website is worldcafe.npr.org if you want to pick it up.